in the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will, tonight to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter number 7, if you find the place and you're able to stand. Jeremiah chapter number 7, and we'll begin looking there in the passage. We'll read one passage before that we're seated, and here it is in verse number 16. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. That's unusual, isn't it? We're always praying for everybody and anybody, and probably continue to do so. Here somebody, God said, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, and neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be back in the house of God. Lord, we're glad we can bring it all to you, and we thank you and praise you. Thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Now, I pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on when one gets past or beyond the preaching and prayer. Now, what a sad thing that'd be to where that God would never let you hear a sermon again that would ever speak to your heart. Do you know there's people that come and sit down in the house of God? You know, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe him. Wouldn't that be something if you came and he never gave you ears to hear it? And wouldn't that be something if you came and God said, don't pray for this people at all because I'm not going to hear anything in their mind. Now, we don't want to lose the text there, but over there in Jeremiah 11 and verse number 14, he repeats it again. In fact, it's in Jeremiah chapter number 14 and verse number 11 that he also repeats this and said, pray not for their good. Isn't that something? I mean, you know, I realize that, oh, there's not anybody in here prays for anybody's bad unless you're mad at them. And then when you get over that, when you get over it, then you're glad that God didn't do whatever you was wanting to be in the matter of hostility. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at here, let me say to you, the house of God is what this is talking about. And the Bible said in chapter number 7 of verse number 1 of Jeremiah, this is a word that came to Jeremiah, a word from the Lord. And if we ever need a word from God, it's now. He says, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. See there? We know in the Old Testament, that was the temple. In the New Testament, you'll find it's the house of God, the church of the living God. And he says, and proclaim this word, hear the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, and enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Verse number 3, he starts out, and here's what he says there in the middle of that passage, amend your ways and your doings. In other words, they obviously messed up along the way. What were they doing? Verse number 4, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, and this place neither walk after other gods into your heart, then will I cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave you. Now, then he says again, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. You know how to tell when it's something lying? If it's contrary to this book that I hold in my hand, that's a lying word. If somebody says what this doesn't say, goes beyond that or falls short of it, those are lying words. You know, in the day we live in, we're looking for somebody, or for the most part in the world is, religiously, they're looking for somebody that'll teach and preach psychology. Now, here's what psychology does. It makes you feel good about yourself like you are in your sin without the need to repent toward God and to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened here when they got past the point of no return. They had a house, the house of God, they called it. It was polluted. And as a result of that, notice what happened in verse number 9. He said, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, bear false witness, burn incense to Baal, walk after other gods whom you know not, come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. He says, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? You know what happened to them, don't you? He said, behold, I've seen it, saith the Lord. Now, let me tell you, here's what happened in the day we live in. When the Baptist church got to where they were more interested in quantity than they were quality, and just everybody come on, buddy. Billy Graham helped promote that by just come like you are and sit in your car. I got to tell you something right now. This crowd finally became the pastor for no return. I can't tell you how many people that I know up and down the road of life that are living out of wedlock, shacking up, committing adultery, committing fornication, and teaching a Sunday school class in a Baptist church. That's what God's talking about. God's talking about things that have been let go. And things that are just finally to where that we've laid aside the word of the Lord, teach for doctrine the commandments of men now. And by the way, you may decide down the road you want to do that, but it'll show up in your family when you do. And let me tell you, one of these days you'll wake up and look back and you'll think, oh my, what have I done? And it'll just be too late for them and too late for you. And because of the fact that God said, I'm not going to listen to anybody praying in your behalf, so forth and on. You know what ends up happening, don't you? Is that the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. You know, this was a crowd. You know what they were preoccupied with? They were preoccupied with eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that the flood came, and they didn't know it until it was too late. And that's where we're at in the day we live in. Let me say to you, I remember that somebody sings a song, Miss Lori sings it, and one of the phrases in that song, I was running out of time. Well, I got to tell you, honey, every time your heart beats one more time without God, you're running out of time. And if God says, don't beat again in your heart, you're going to die and meet your maker in the condition that you're in. I want to say to you, don't be preoccupied with whatever's going on in this world that we're living in. Now, I want you to notice in the days of Noah, and he talked about that, and the reason why is because Noah was a man that didn't get a lot of results. He didn't have a good positive message. Of course, he was preaching about something nobody had ever even seen before, namely a rain. He had to believe God for himself, for his family. And the Bible says over there, if you look in the book of Genesis, in chapter number 6 and about verse number 3, he preached 120 years, didn't reach anybody but his family. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God forbid that you and I reach everybody else but our family. I remember years ago one of the testimonies of a fellow by the name of Billy Sunday, a great evangelist across the country. And whenever he died, his wife said, you know, the great detriment to my husband Billy and I is that while that we went across the country preaching the word and winning people to Christ, we led to the neglect of our own family that died without home, without God. They say the last few days of Billy Sunday when he was preaching in those old tent revivals that his son walked up and down in front of the tent with a whiskey bottle, cussing God and the Bible and just bringing an insult and injury unto his daddy and his mama and everybody that believed God. Now, you talk about a price to pay. Don't you ever get so wrapped up in business that you neglect your family. Don't you ever get so wrapped up in other people's kids that you neglect your own. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. If I don't reach anybody but my own family, what a wonderful thing and place that heaven would be. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, I am interested in your family. I am interested in other people's families. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to ignore them. But I don't want to ignore mine at the expense of everybody else. And you'd better not either, dear friend. I got to say that when you begin to look in this Bible lesson, there's too many times we're preoccupied with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and this and that. Noah for 120 years was preaching the gospel message of the Lord, and not one soul did he convert. When they got on the ark, there wasn't anybody but Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And then those animals that God put in, and God shut them in. And let me tell you, that's all there was. Now, how'd you like to spend the rest of your life? You know, an independent Baptist wouldn't be able to make it like Noah did. They've got to see something happening. They're so desperate to see something happening, they're trying to make something happen. I got to tell you, you better not try to get ahead of God. You better just let God do what's right and real in your heart and in your life. And then if you do, it'll be lasting for all eternity. This Bible said that Noah was preaching. You know why they died and went to hell in Noah's day? They didn't believe him. They didn't believe what was going on. In the day we live in, and I said this all the time, I'm going to say it every now and again just so you'll know I hadn't changed my mind. But I'm glad that God saved me and snatched me as a burning, as a brand from the burning whenever he did. Because if all I had to listen to was the average Baptist, independents and all, I'd have been an atheist. That's exactly how big a joke that it seemingly has become in the day. I thank God for everyone that stands for the word of the Lord. I thank God for every one of them that's got the breath of God. But for the most part, let me tell you, it's deader than 10 o'clock. And they're trying to make people feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was in the days of Noah. You know, people never change. They're born lost and they need to be born again. And you'll either receive that or you'll reject that, one of the two. And of course, you know, in the average Baptist, you don't have really got to worry about it. Somebody said, well, why do you think that for 120 years, why did it take God so long? I'm glad you asked that because God was waiting. You know, over there in the book of 1 Peter, there's a passage over there, if I can find it. And boy, I love this new Bible. I just love flipping through the pages of it and all that, and I can't find nothing, but it's always there. And here it is again, right here, 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I want you to see the passage in about verse number 20. The Bible said, by which also he went. He's talking about verse 18, back up to that. For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By the which that also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God, look at it, waited. You know why God let Noah preach for 120 years without seeing a convert? Because he's long-suffering, and he was waiting for Noah to get through building that ark. And this Bible said, and while the ark was preparing, he said, while the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. By the way, not anybody that got wet was on that ark, only those that were dry. People that want to preach water baptism, the only people here that went to heaven were those that were on the ark, dry as a bone. Those that got wet, drowned it, and died without hope and without God and went to a devil's hell. And I'm going to tell you something, is that, don't you imagine, it doesn't give you all of that, but you can just simply read between the lines. Don't you realize and know that after all that preaching they had heard, laughed, made fun, preached about the rain, the flood. What is rain? They didn't know about none of that. The earth was watered from a mist. Can you imagine they were clawing, screaming, and crying, and begging Noah to open that door up, but it was too late. Now, the reason why that I know that is because that you'll find over in the book of Matthew chapter number 25. Turn quickly there. But let me remind you the reason why God was long-suffering. He was waiting on Noah to build that ark. I got to tell you, God may be waiting on you tonight, young lady or young man or sir or ma'am. God may be waiting on you. One of these days, the Lord's going to save the last one that'll be saved during this dispensation while you turn to Matthew chapter 25. And when that happens, you're going to find that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain are going to be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye and caught up together, and so shall ye ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, remember the story in the parable about the five virgins that were wise and the five that were foolish. Remember that? Matthew chapter number 25, I want you to read now with about verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now these are the foolish, they weren't ready. They wanted to borrow oil from the wise ones, and they said, no, not lest there be not enough for us. So while they went to buy the fuel and the oil, they were unprepared. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. In other words, now it's too late. You know, right now we've got an open door to preach the word, to preach the gospel, to see people come to know the Lord and see people grow in grace and love and knowledge. But notice in verse 11, afterwards came also the other virgins. These are ones that didn't have the oil, wasn't prepared, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Then the warning out of the mouth of Jesus is, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I say unto you tonight that as we are gathered here together, I press upon you and ask you this question. Are you in or out? Are you ready or not? You'd better not wait until the last minute, lest you be caught on the outside saying, Lord, open unto us, open unto me. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of religious but lost people without hope and without God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There are going to be many in that day that are going to say, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and cast out devils, so forth and on? Then will I say unto them, depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. You know, I believe that with all of my heart, that's the reason why that we're living in the day of the 30-day profession. In 30 days, you know, somebody makes a profession, gets in the baptistry, and before their clothes dry good, you can't find them. The FBI couldn't find them. I got to say to you also as well that no doubt that there are those that go through the motions, but then they're in a pattern. You can always tell how they're going to respond and what they're going to do and when they're going to do it and if they're going to do it and why they're doing it. And let me tell you right now is they can't never seem to break that mold or break that. I've had people that used to come here and somebody would say to me, you hadn't seen Brother So-and-so lately, have you? And I said, what day of week is this? Okay. All right, let's see. They were not here last week, week before this and that, all that. They just got to miss a certain amount of church. And if they're not here today, they're going to be late. Then we'll check on them. Now, how'd you like to be read like that? Your life's an open book. My life's an open book. See? And you're never going to change that with some people. I said all that to be able to say this. It's good to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I may be troubled about a thing or two when I lay my head down tonight, but I'll tell you what I won't be worried about. If I don't wake up here, I'll be shouting it out on a street of gold on the other side. You see that? In this lesson that we're looking at here, make no mistake about it, I'd hate to get beyond preaching and prayer and being able to praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon these that have gathered. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. We'll thank you for loving us in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake we pray.